Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 4th day of July, 2020, Independence Day. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and taking note of that, this tonight will be a very special show indeed. I often, in this time of the year, go through the most important document, as I will suggest, that was ever written originally in the English language. And this, as it turns out, is the 244th anniversary of the day that we celebrate the signing of the document. But as you may be aware, John Adams suggested that the actual date that we ought to celebrate was July 2nd, when the real miracle occurred, and the resolution for independence was approved unanimously. And if you've ever seen the detailed story, you realize it was, in fact, a very miraculous thing that happened. It didn't seem to most of the delegates there prior to this particular day that it was ever going to happen. But in fact, it did. And out of that came an entirely new concept of government, something that had never before, at least in modern history, and arguably ever, been attempted. And that indeed is part of the reason that I find myself more and more disgusted with what most Americans have allowed to happen to the gift that they've been given. Through ignorance and apathy, we've allowed what once were unanimously agreed to be self-evident truths to be ignored and even banned from socialist media. Basically, what the Declaration made clear for the first time is that all people have certain unalienable rights, natural rights is another term you'll hear, God-given rights actually is the term that I prefer, and that no government on earth has the authority to take those away, whether by legislation or by fiat or by command. And all of these rights are about defending and pursuing the rights to life, liberty, and happiness, or the idea of property ownership. Without property, and that would include your own body as your property, hey, guess what? That means that somebody that says you have to wear a mask is operating outside of the entire concept of the Declaration of Independence. That leads me to the real point I want to make today. I do intend to go through the elements of the Declaration, as I often do. But the question is, will this be the last time? Because I'm going to suggest that the understandings in this document are particularly vital. And if we don't stand up for the principles upon which this nation was based, we simply may not have another anniversary of this particular date to even talk about it. I mentioned this at least in passing, but I want to make a couple of upfront statements. Certain things that are just so incredibly obscene, ridiculous, insane, that I think most people in this land would have said even a year ago on this anniversary that no, wouldn't be possible, that people would be told you must wear a stupid, idiotic face covering that does nothing productive except decrease your oxygen intake and cause you to recycle your own breath, basically diminishing your immune function, and if anything, making you more malleable and stupid. And what it is probably the most blatant, dramatic, anti-American symbol in our history. You walk into a public place, seeing a bunch of people that are literally no more than modern-day slaves, and oh, I know that's incendiary, and it ought to be, folks, because we have a nation that was based in this idea of freedom. Yes, there'll be those that will point to the institution of slavery, which was, in fact, a really big deal at that time. It was one of the main battlegrounds and part of the reason why it was unlikely that the Declaration would ever be passed unanimously. By way of kicking things off today, I'm going to start there. Because, as you know, what the document did was lay out a legal case for saying that when a government becomes destructive of these ends, the reason for which the nation is, in fact, supposed to exist, then the people have a right to alter or abolish it. So they're going to lay out the causes which impel them to the separation and list the grievances against the tyrant King George III. So right off the top, here is a passage that in fact turned out to be the critical element in getting that unanimous consent. It was a paragraph that Thomas Jefferson put in the document, believed in very strongly, and as a condition of getting that unanimous approval, he had to drop it. And he and Adams and Franklin all basically indicated, you know, we're going to fight this battle eventually. But unfortunately, in order for this nation to come into existence at all, we're going to have to delay that battle, and we'll simply deal with what we can today, which is if we're not independent, if we're not a new nation, nothing else follows. So here goes the grievance as it was originally put into the document. Speaking, of course, about the tyrant, King George III, they say, he has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian king of Great Britain. Determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold, he has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this execrable commerce. And that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished die, he is now exciting these very people to rise in arms against us, and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people on whom he has obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. And as you might expect, that was pretty incendiary to those that, primarily in the South, of course, didn't agree with the idea that slavery was an execrable commerce. Now, what I want to do is simply point out the following. If we took that same grievance today and put it in modern terms, it might sound something like this. Because, like it or not, folks, there are a whole lot of people who are slaves, debt slaves, slaves to a tyrannical government, the likes of which the founders honestly probably wouldn't have fought for if they'd known this was going to descend into. So let me try it again this way. See what you think. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty by a number of usurpations, but among them by forcing the wearing of masks by people who never offended him. This piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the pagan governors of once free states, determined to close any market where free men should be able to buy and sell. He, or they, have prostituted the negative for suppressing small and independent businesses and declaring essential only those which bow the knee to his tyranny. And now, to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them, he urges them to commit crimes against the lives of another. You're seeing it play out on the streets of America, folks. All right, well, I think at least that gets us on the right track. What I want to do today is, again, go through the elements of this Declaration of Independence with the idea that if we don't understand what rights we once had, well, obviously, we no longer have them. Take a look around. See the people that are walking in submission to a tyrannical slavery that they don't even understand. And you'll get an idea of what I mean. By the way, there's an old saying that I frequently quote on this show. Let those who falsely believe they are free rattle their chains. And I guess now we could say wear their masks and submit in dutiful obeisance to those who hold those chains, whether the idiots that are wearing the masks know it or not. Okay, let's start at the beginning and go through the document. But as I do that, I want to point out this again. The idea that we're going to see expressed here, and which Jefferson crafted, it was one of the primary accomplishments of his life, was the most radical theory of government in memory. No king, no ruler, or no one else had any authority to issue edicts, judgments, fiat, you name it, that would crush personal freedom. It was the idea of a popular government based on the consent of the governed, and it had one sole purpose: to secure those rights that come from God. So here we go. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. Well, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We got a problem. We're going to tell you why and how this problem is going to be resolved. And here comes the most important paragraph, well, arguably in the entire document. It lays out the entire basis for what was once free government in these United States. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Says paragraph 2, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, there it is, folks, the singular purpose of government, Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And they continue, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, indeed, as that one was then and this one certainly is now, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And then he goes on to say, yeah, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed, like the one that they're trying to destroy today by means of the French Bolshevik Maoist Hitlerian, you name it, revolution currently in progress on the streets of formerly free America. Prudence indeed would dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, even if George Soros is funding them. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. Let's pause there for a second. That long train of abuses, folks, is increasingly obvious today. The symbol of the mask is only the latest example of this long train of abuses. But it's literally been built up to the point where the economy is now being destroyed, the livelihoods of millions are being wiped out, and what's left of their freedoms along with them. So, when this long train of abuses, they say, and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. We've been patient, we've had it, and here we go. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Now, as I go through the list of grievances here, the reasons, the causes which impel them to the separation, I want to pay attention especially to those that, even with the passage of time, ring so true again today. And I want to make one more note, too, because all through here, since it is the tyrant, the king of Britain, George III, that is being referenced when they say he, you have to realize, well, wait a minute, we don't have a he today to point to. I realize there, of course, would be those who think that Donald Trump is the epitome of all evil, orange man bad, and so forth. Others of us would suggest that we've had a line of tyrants going way back before George Bush the First and George Bush the Second, and the rapist president Bill Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama, or whatever name he used whenever he was running. We've had a whole bunch of tyrants who have been seeking to destroy the United States and literally gut it from within. We're now seeing the culmination of that effort. But I want to point this out. Just a brief diversion here. And this is courtesy of a piece by Wayne Allensworth at VDare.com, who writes about an interesting movie. And I've seen it, but it's been so long I've forgotten most of it. The Grapes of Wrath. And it's John Steinbeck's novel about the Okie Everyman. And it was made into a film by John Ford in 1940. And the man that wrote the article says, those who understand what's going on here will realize the parallels. Who do we shoot? Says the line that he picks on. Mooley Graves, the sharecropper, was one of the heroes, or at least one of the protagonists, in this particular movie. And he was facing eviction from his Dust Bowl farm. So Mooley confronts a man on a bulldozer who has come to demolish the shack that he and his family live in. The sharecropper, though, is determined not to give in, and he threatens the bulldozer operator with a shotgun. only to discover that he's just a local man, one of Mooley's own people. The bulldozer driver explains that what's going on is not his fault. It's just a job he was hired to do. And if Mooley shoots him, well, then someone else will come and do the job, and Mooley will end up in jail. He's still going to lose his land. It doesn't matter. He can shoot this guy, and it's not going to make any difference. So he asks the immortal question, well, then who do we shoot? The banker? The people back east who own the bank? Morally disarmed and demoralized, Mooley can only watch as the man with the bulldozer destroys his home and everything he has. Patriotic Americans, says Allensworth, understand Mooley. Our people, our culture, our history, everything we hold dear is now under relentless attack by the waste-stream media, politicians, so-called activists, activist judges in the courts, and aided and abetted by enemies within, often our own kith and kin. People have now internalized the blood-libel leftist narrative of the irredeemably racist America. And so, it must all be destroyed so that they can build a new socialist utopia on the ruins. Our enemy in this case, says the author, is the globalist blob and its militant would-be Che Guevaras and modern-day Castros and Leninists and so forth, along with the waste-stream media, the bureaucracy, the courts, big brother corporations, public-private partners, and, of course, the indoctrination establishment. They call it education, but that's been a lie for decades. Yet, for the most part, up until recently, the blob has not confronted the historic American nation head-on. The blob's been patient, killing us by the death of a thousand cuts, literally taking ground steadily through subversion, using propaganda, misinformation, indoctrination, and now panic as a result of the COVID-1984 plandemic, censorship via tech totalitarianism, and the slow encroachment of anarcho-tyranny, along with mass immigration to destroy the entire concept that we're talking about here with the Declaration. They no longer hold these truths to be self-evident, so come on in, take over, destroy the nation from within, and destroy the precepts and principles upon which it was founded, because you don't know and you don't care, and most Americans have now been so dumbed down that they don't care either. Now here's the key, and this is how I want to introduce the list of grievances as we go through some of them. The blob, says Wayne Allensworth, is an amorphous, slippery, slimy thing that probes and gropes its way into whatever socioeconomic, political cracks it can exploit, and eventually it engulfs whatever form of government we thought we once had, a republic, madam, if you can keep it, like quicksand engulfing a prey. And that's so appropriate. So there you go. Think of the blob here as, you could say the deep state, the slime creatures, but you get the idea. When the Declaration uses the word he, this tyrant in the form of King George III, nowadays, well, who do we shoot? It's kind of a difficult question, because what we have is an amorphous deep state blob with so many evil tentacles and so many evil people all connected and doing the evil will of what? The prince of this world. Well, that even if you shoot one or two or hundreds, there'll be more to take their place. And it becomes a really difficult task even to realize what it is that we should be fighting. So here we go. To prove this, said Jefferson and the founders, let facts be submitted to a candid world. The blob, has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. As a matter of fact, I'll pause. At this point, there are even laws that were actually in place, still are technically, like the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, the right to freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of worship. Well, not if COVID-1984 is at hand. Booga, booga, booga. You can't possibly worship or speak freely. Hell, they can't even hear you through your stinking mask. How many of the rights that were once obvious and, necessary for the public good have been destroyed by the blob in the name of, panic and replacement? Replacement theology, I guess you could call it. A different theology than the one that says we have a God, a creator, and he has given us rights, the purpose for which governments are instituted among men, to protect them, in other words. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when suspended as such, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He's refused to pass other laws and so forth. Let's skip on down, because it really gets kind of interesting about here. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness. Uh-oh, can't say that anymore. That'll get you labeled as some kind of a patriarch or a other type of socially irredeemable not person. Anyway, he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. Well, nowadays they don't dissolve legislative representative houses, folks. They just ignore the things that they put their hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend. And for that matter, we don't even have to have representative houses anymore. Hell, you've got governors and other tyrants that pass laws simply by edict. Wear a mask because I say so. Close your business and lose everything you've worked for because I say so. Because I declare that you are non-essential. You peon, you slave, you. Can you think of anything more demeaning to a person when you want to call them a slave than saying your work, your life is non-essential? That ought to just plain piss people off, and I'm going to use that terminology. Yeah, because it should, folks. The whole point of the Declaration was these people had had enough, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to those and to their posterity because they were going to do something about it, not put on their stinking masks and march like little good slaves to whatever end the blob has in mind for them. Let's continue, and then we'll head to the break here. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. Now, truth be told, folks, a swarm of officers is hardly the way to describe the swarm of bureaucratic three-letter agencies. BATF, FBI, IRS, TSA, NIH, you name it, ETC. All of whom have powers that the legislature was never supposed to delegate, and powers, in fact, that the Constitution never even allowed the central government to have. I want to read this one as we go to break with a little bit of a different twist, a modern twist. Goes like this. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people, destroy their businesses, force them to wear harmful masks, and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies. Now remember, these various three-letter agencies are all armed, paid for by your tax dollars, and allowed to carry weapons that you peons, even though you once had a God-given right to keep and bear arms, aren't allowed to have. Isn't that special? So the standing armies today include the FBI, BATF, IRS, TSA, NIH, ETC, not to mention NSA and others that are violating the Fourth, Fifth, you know it, amendments without the benefit of, well, lawful existence. And they're doing this without the consent of our legislatures. The next one says this, and it kind of resonates too. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislature. Interestingly, I guess it doesn't matter anymore what the legislature consents to, because the deep state goes ahead and keeps these standing armies, these aforementioned three-letter Big Brother agencies, and they can do whatever they want. They have their own courts in some cases. They make their own rules. They don't need no stinking Congress or president or anybody else, the consent of the governed, to go ahead and do what they intend to do. When we get back, we'll pick it up with this one about how he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and laws. And that certainly is obviously really true today. So again, I will encourage people. Read the Declaration of Independence. Understand what has been done and what has been taken away. Because again, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And if you don't understand that the purpose of government, as it was once supposed to exist, is to secure these rights that come not from any men or government on earth, but from the Creator Himself, well, as you can see, this formerly free nation is in a world of hurt. We can and should be doing what the founders did. And that's to withdraw consent, or as Revelation 18:4 puts it, come out of her, my people. And we'll be right back. Welcome back now to the second segment of this very special show for the 4th of July, 2020. I'm again your host, Mark Call, and we're talking about the most important document ever originally written in the English language. It was approved unanimously on July 2nd, 1776, by representatives of the 13 colonies assembled in Philadelphia. And the process of signing it began 2 days later, on the anniversary now celebrated, at least by some, even if they don't necessarily remember why. It's because it established the principles that, at least once upon a time, produced the freest and most productive nation the world had ever seen. When we went to break, I was talking a little bit about some of the grievances against, originally King George, and now, of course, you could call it the blob, the deep state, the crocodile critters, the swamp creatures, but in any case, either way, while much has changed technologically and in other forms of human endeavor, human nature itself hasn't changed much at all, and the very same things are being done again. Only arguably at this point, I will suggest that the blob, the deep state, is doing things that the original King George, if for no other reason than the technology of the time, couldn't even begin to have accomplished. For that matter, neither could Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong. But nowadays, we're paving the way for a level of tyranny, the likes of which the world has never seen either. Okay, when we went to break, I was going through the grievances, and how about this one? He has combined with others, call them various aspects of the deep state, the swamp, to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his blob-like assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Now, that arguably is one of the most important in the entire document because it is the single most dramatic element of what's going on today. We have governors in many of the states of this formerly free nation saying, I don't need no stinking legislature. I don't care about a constitution that I put my hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend because I'm an enemy of it. And I'm going to decree, Achtung, you will not open your business. You're not essential. You must wear a mask, even if it's going to hurt you, because we don't care about your health, your safety, your welfare, or your life. All we care about is controlling you, you little peon slaves, you. Acts of pretended legislation. These are all things going on. Just about everything you can see in the United States today, folks, that's being done by the tyrants at local, state, and federal levels is, in fact, foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, as I pointed out for a long time. Such things are technically null and void. They have no standing whatsoever. But on the other hand, that still doesn't stop some tyrant with a gun and a badge and some kind of a uniform from saying, Achtung, wear a mask or I'll throw you in jail. I'll steal your business. I'll destroy your livelihood. I'll take your property. The founders would have said, hell no. We're not going to tolerate that. And in fact, that's exactly what they did. One of the grievances. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. Well, we'd say, hold, that's not happening today. Oh, really? Just ask yourself, what are people protesting? At least, what do some of them think they're protesting? Answer, police brutality. People that have arms that the slaves aren't allowed to have in many cases, and that do things that literally, once upon a time, would have been called color of law, acting outside their authority. But on the other hand, if they get away with it for long enough, pretty soon people think, well, I'm just a little slave anyway, what can I do? For protecting them, this is the large bodies of armed troops among us. And by the way, it doesn't include just men in blue, it also includes men in black. Again, FBI, CIA, NSA, IRS, even the Food and Drug Administration and wildlife officials, all armed by Big Brother, carrying weapons that you, again, even though you once had a constitutionally protected right to do so, aren't allowed to have anymore. And when they do things, I'm thinking of a fellow named Lon Horiuchi, and he was just the first of many. They executed a bunch of people in a church at Waco later, and Lon Horiuchi was there. For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. And as we've seen in the decades since, evil men like Lon Horiuchi got away with committing murders. Well, they've just gone more and more out of control. Now Big Brother takes military weapons, puts them in the hands of constabularies and various three-letter agencies and says, have at it. These peons don't have any more God-given, once-protected rights. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. Oh, gee, how many of those do we have today? For depriving us. Now, I'm going to change this word. For depriving us in many cases. And I remember seeing some of the debate because there were elements within the various states that said, well, they may be depriving people of their right to trial by jury in Boston and in Massachusetts, but not down here in the South. So they added the words, for depriving us in many cases. I'm going to say, if you go back and look and see what trial by jury once was, we have not had it in these United States, folks, for decades and decades. So here's how that one ought to read today. For depriving us in all cases of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Well, they only do that for people that are not Antifa, but that are called terrorists nowadays. And they do that so that basically they can get away with, various kinds of things that would be called cruel and unusual punishment and so forth. The truth is, for the most part, you don't have to transport people beyond seas nowadays to deprive them of their God-given rights under pretended offenses. Hey, speaking of pretended offenses, how about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask? Isn't that a pretended offense? They're certainly locking people up and fining them for it. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. If it was true then, it's 10 times more true today. For they've taken away our Bill of Rights, abolished our most valuable laws. That would include the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, well, you get the picture, elements of the Bill of Rights, and altering fundamentally the form of our government. We were supposed to have a republic. Remember how Ben Franklin put it? A republic, madam, if you can keep it. Most Americans today are ignorant of the fact that this nation was never, ever supposed to be a democracy. They called it mob rule, mobocracy, and the devil's own government. And Madison wrote later that such democracies have ever been as short in their lives as they've been violent in their deaths. Oh, yeah. Our forms of government have definitely been altered, taken away, and abolished. How about this? For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with the power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. Now, I've spent a lot of time on this one in the past because, ironically, in Article 1, Section 8, there is actually a delegation of powers in that 10-square-mile swamp area known as the District of Criminals today, where, in fact, the Constitution gave them the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. That was a pretty disgusting turn of events. But nevertheless, what we see today is that that is basically the case. Again, what are the points of the protections of the Bill of Rights? Well, your right to freedom of speech can be taken away. No, not by Big Brother, but by Big Brother's public-private partners, to Facebook, Gulag, you name it, Twitter, and so forth. How about this? He has abdicated, now this is the blob, of course, has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. Seriously, anybody doubt that that's precisely what's going on when you see the level of attacks on once God-given rights in the American people? And they're doing it, by the way, via invasion from the South as well. Finally, this. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. I guess you could say, and he calls it a lockdown. How about this one? He is at this time transporting large armies of Marxist terrorists, of Marxist terrorists to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the leader of a civilized nation, well, the blob of a once civilized nation. In the original, it says foreign mercenaries, and I guess you could argue that the foreign mercenaries are in the form of MS-13, ISIS, and others that have been invited in. Who knows how many communist Chinese and Russian and other troops already pre-positioned on American soil. But most Americans that are ignorant of the Declaration will be ignorant of that as well. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us. Gee, can you say Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all kinds of other terrorist organizations, whether or not Big Brother so designates them, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless BLM and Antifa savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Oh, I realize that the original there would now be politically incorrect, but the truth remains. We have a bunch of domestic insurrections being incited all across the nation, whether people acknowledge them as such or not, and yes, their form of warfare is increasingly obvious. In every stage of these oppressions, when they finally get around to wrapping things up, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. But our repeated petition has been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And that's true of the blob as well. Nor, they continue, have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We've warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. I guess you could argue that that's been true of Americans who tried to point out to Big Brother that it's usurping the Constitution and extending an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. Many of the states did that by means of their lockdowns and their attempts to destroy people's lives and property, and then force them to wear masks to show that they're good little slaves. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. Today we would say we have reminded them of our once constitutionally protected rights and very important historical things like the Declaration of Independence itself. What do we see today? The very people that are destroying the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and literally trying to expunge the concepts of the Declaration from our history are tearing down monuments and trying to rewrite history itself, declaring that these people who pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor to provide the most, well, I would say God-given protected rights and a form of government that, well, its sole purpose was to secure those rights ever, and now it's being thrown away, literally destroyed, as we stand wearing our stupid little masks and watch. We have appealed, they continue, to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by their ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. In other words, if you keep doing this stuff, you're going to really piss us off, and we're going to say, get away from us. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and to consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce to the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, but in peace, friends. Now, here is where the document wraps up. And this is, well, the conclusion. Having laid out the facts, having laid out the principles, and then use those facts to support the principles, indicating that the only solution here is, because we've reached this point, a separation. They go on to describe, well, what is the legal remedy? And here we go. And I'm going to read the first sentence and then pause for a minute, because it's going to bring into focus another extremely important point. And this, too, is one that's being destroyed in these formerly free United States today. Here's how it reads. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, small u, these are states that are just plain united, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare the following. And I'm going to pause at that point. We'll come back to what it is that they declare in a second. But did you notice this reference to the Supreme Judge of the world there? Guess what? It's not the first time in this document that the founders explicitly referenced the creator of the universe and author of Scripture. Now, a lot of us would say, well, too bad. They had Bibles in which his name had been expunged. They didn't really necessarily know his name or the Tetragrammaton, although I suspect that a number of them probably had a better understanding than most so-called clergy today do. But in any case, they referenced the creator of the universe four separate times in the document. Now, one of them is obviously, when we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal and endowed by who? By their Creator with those unalienable rights. Since the rights come from Him, there is no government on earth that has legitimate authority to take them away. That's why they're called unalienable, cannot be leaned. But the mention about the Creator there is the second of the references to God Almighty in the document. The first one is where they say when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that they're talking about. Well, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. Okay, so there's a reference to the lawgiver, if you will. The laws of nature's God that are being referenced there. So that's actually the first reference in the entire document. Now what you'll notice, in addition to Creator, are that there are a total of three of those. And as Madison pointed out later, and as the founders knew when they were discussing this, there are precisely three references to forms of government, elements of government, and essentially things that the Creator of the universe is, and they come right out of Isaiah chapter 33, where he says, I am your king, I am your judge, I am your lawgiver. So what do we find in the Declaration? The layout that eventually becomes the idea of separation of powers. Three separate branches of government. The executive branch, I am your king. The legislative branch, I am your lawgiver. And the judicial branch, I am your judge. And as Madison said, you know, we don't trust any fallen man or congregation of men to have those powers combined in any one hand. In his hands only, in the Creator's hands alone, do we trust those things to be combined. And that, though, is the Creator that they are appealing to. And here's the reference. I just read it. The United States of America's representatives and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. Okay, so we've had first the lawgiver, laws of nature and of nature's God. Now the judge, supreme judge, in fact, of the world. And we're going to come to the last one here, divine providence, when we read the last paragraph. Here is what they solemnly publish and declare. That these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And here we go. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, as I pointed out, this document was agreed to and passed unanimously on July the 2nd, 1776. But the signing process began, if you've seen the famous picture, on July the 4th. And even though John Adams suggested that it was July 2nd, that should be the date that was celebrated, we now talk about Independence Day as being July the 4th. Interestingly, though, there were other individuals who signed the document later throughout that same summer. But the point remains, once upon a time, folks, we unanimously, that would be we, the people of the formerly free United States, unanimously agreed that there is a purpose in government, a singular purpose for government, and it is to secure these rights which are granted to us not by any government or any individual on this planet, but by the Creator and by Him alone. And again, the purpose of government is to secure these rights. And guess what? That government rests on the consent of the governed. And here I will suggest the founders realize full well what yours truly has been talking about right out of Scripture as long as I've been doing this show. We have the power to choose life, to make our own choices as free people. And in fact, we're commanded to choose life. And the reason that the Mashiach came was to Help us choose life and to have it in abundance. I have come that they might have life, says John 10:10, and have it more abundantly. The founders recognized all of that. They chose to withdraw consent from, as they pointed out in no small amount of detail, a tyrant. And here we are today, facing, well, not only equal, but I would suggest far worse tyrannies. Imagine if the founders had been commanded by King George to wear a stupid mask as they walked around town, and they were told, well, and they were told, come to think of it, you can't conduct your businesses. Well, in those cases, what they had to do was have various tax stamps and all kinds of paper stamps and other things that the tyrannical government of Great Britain declared that they would have. What do we have today? Well, we simply have tyrants declaring, you slave, pee on you, you are not essential. You can't do business at all. You can't go out and go to a restaurant. You can't go to a gym. Hell, you can't even go out on the streets of California without wearing a stupid mask, demonstrating your subservience to the almighty God of government. And people ought to be saying what the founders did. We withdraw consent. And we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor because we are willing to fight for what we believe. And it's a sad commentary that we find ourselves today in this place. Now, I want to close with just a couple of comments. I don't have time to do the entire piece, but this comes from Jim Quinn at the Burning Platform about the boiling point. And he concludes that we're there. Essentially, what we have today is this blob. And this COVID-19 pandemic that was just part of what conveniently engulfed the entire world in fear. We have so-called medical experts declaring that millions would surely die unless we did what? Did away with all those God-given rights and closed the global economy and all cowered in our basements like good little slaves. If we come out, we can do it if we wear a mask. The experts convinced the president to destroy the economy and shut it down. All kinds of nasty things have followed. Let me close this way. What he says is we've got a decade's worth of history that's happened in the first 6 months of this year. The next 4 months are likely to be even more eventful. And I will suggest, folks, that unless people wake up and recognize those self-evident truths, it's over. We probably won't see another celebration of independence, at least not the same nation that most of us thought we grew up in. And unless you're fairly old, 4 or 5 decades old at a minimum, you probably don't even remember what it was like when we actually referred to these United States in the plural and understood that when people put their hand on a Bible, they are declaring before a God that is mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence that they understand what their function is. To secure these rights. The author here points out that the election taking place now is only the second time since 1864 that we had a presidential election during a time of civil war, even if right now it's only one team that's fighting. The right hasn't taken the bait thus far. Whether that's a wise choice, he says, is yet to be determined. But if the left continues to purposely destroy cities, ruin the economy, and utilize ballot fraud, mail ballot fraud, you name it, in order to win the presidency and the Senate in the coming election, people will be rightfully angry. And regardless, ultimately, of who wins in November, the real violence will probably get going before the election in January. Martial law and bloodletting are more likely now than not. And I will suggest, folks, that if you go back and look at history and you see the Bolshevik Revolution, the French Revolution, and understand what separated the American Revolution for Independence were those references to the Creator and the fact that we have rights from God, not any government on this planet of mere men. And that when a government becomes destructive of those ends, we had darn well better alter or abolish it. It's time to think about those things, pray about those things, celebrate those things, and remember where our rights do come from. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.